Breaking news today on Secularist. President Biden is set to make a desperate address to the nation tonight.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. You might have gotten the breaking news alert. I got it on my way into the office this morning that President Biden is scheduled to address the nation tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time in front of the U.S. Capitol. It is not an event, official White House event. This is an event sponsored by the Democrat National Committee, by the DNC. It will focus yet again. We've already had this speech once.
The scary speech.
We'll focus on the threat of election deniers and, quote, those who seek to undermine faith in voting in democracy less than a week before voters head to the polls on Election Day while people are voting as we speak. But a lot of early voting is about to close. It depends on the state, where you are, so know your rules. But sometimes early voting closes a few days before the election. I know where we are, it does it in a day or two, and then that's it until Election Day. So the idea here is we know the general folks because we've seen this speech once before. It was a disaster.
Do you think this is – I wondered if what they're trying to do here is a reset.
I do think it's a reset based off the Pelosi attack.
Yeah.
And so they're going to use the Capitol background. That's the January 6th part. Then you're going to go into the Pelosi attack. And instead of just saying this is a psychotic individual who was sharing conspiracy theories that were both from the left and the right and, it was an illegal immigrant. I mean, all these things, a nudist from Berkeley, a drug addict, the people that described him said he's living on the streets, that is somehow a mainstream political activist. It's just not true. And are people really going to buy this again? Now, also, these evening addresses he has not been successful. These have all backfired. But what this tells me is that their back is up against the wall, and they've got to figure out, okay, it's not abortion. We now need to reset this as you're supporting and electing the insurrectionist.
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to realize it's a reset, like you said. Yeah. I mean, they're doing this again. Now, you also have to realize this is being done less than a week out from the election. So they're not doing this because they feel confident going into next Tuesday on how they're going to do. So it's going to be reminding the American people what was going on. That I think that's fair to say what this is really going to be about. So you've got this election a week away, less than a week away, and you've got the administration saying we've got to re-galvanize, re-establish kind of our base here. We're going to remind them all of the horrible things of January 6th and the threats to democracy, and it's going to be like the speech he did in Philadelphia. Maybe they won't use red lights, but all the networks are going to cover it. You know that.
Yeah.
All the networks are going to cover it. So understand the politics of what's going on here.
Yeah, this is using, again, he's got the bully pulpit, the largest one in the world, and again, it's not a White House event. It's a DNC event. The White House is getting pushed back on why are we using the Capitol backdrop. Of course, they immediately said because of January 6th. So we know the themes. It's whether or not he's able to deliver the themes in a way different than what happened in September, which was just, people were mocking it on both sides.
But don't you think that
even the left was really put off by the military behind him? And
do you think they're going to, so what do they learn from, but they're moving it to the Capitol, so it's not like it's an insignificant venue.
This is going after the small group of independent voters. They think they still have an opportunity to persuade moms, maybe grandmas too, who think, oh, if we elect these wild Republicans, this is we're going to have more of these attacks, like on our politicians and elected officials, and then it's just going to be chaos. But what's really caused the chaos in our country? What's been the fact? It's been the economy. And it's been bad,
about to get interest
bad
rates
foreign policy
again today.
As well. I mean, right. So I think, again, if this is where they are, it is a good sign for Republicans. But you do have to watch because, again, people will see the clips.
Yep.
Most people won't see the whole speech. It's pretty early, actually, for an evening address, 7 p.m. Eastern time. But they'll see the clips. Will he look strong? Will he be able to even deliver the message? And will the optics be something the American people accept? It doesn't look like that based on any of the polling. We'll be right back on Secular. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. sec, Hill. We are taking your phone calls, too. 1-800-684-3110. Another speech tonight to demonize all of us. I mean, that's literally what it will be.
Right.
Because he's not going to be talking. He will be using fridge of the fridge of the fridge as the examples, the Pelosi attacker. But I think, again, if you're just an American being honest, Democrat or Republican or independent, when you learn about that guy, you learn that this is not a mainstream person at all. This is not even like January 6th, some of those protesters, at all. This is someone so far outside the norm. But it is obviously they thought, okay, we weren't successful with this in September. The polls are looking horrible. What can we do? We're going to throw out the Donald Trump stuff. We're going to throw out the mega, I guess, this time. You know, first it was ultra mega.
Yeah, now it's mega, mega.
Then people started wearing that shirt.
Which sounds like a lottery thing.
It just started to sound goofy. Right? It sounds goofy.
But the whole thing sounds goofy. Doing another speech in this venue.
Well.
No.
Let's be honest. This does not go to
his strong suit. So here's you've got all these races going on. We're going to be joined by the candidate for attorney general in Nevada in the next segment of the broadcast. But you look at what's going on right now. So let's first start with the speech. So Biden's going to make a speech to focus on the threats to democracy ahead of the midterms. I would argue that making a political speech on the steps of the Capitol 5 days out may be a threat to democracy in this sense. Okay? It's purely political. It's not a threat to democracy, actually. It's just, let's call it what it is. It's a political speech.
Made to look official.
To make it, well, he's the president. Like you
but
said,
it's made to look like an official event.
Correct.
It's not.
Even though it's a Democrat speech. But I think it's a sign of desperation, Andy. I think it's a sign of desperation.
Well, it is a sign of desperation. I mean, here the president of the United States comes out less than a week before the election to make these ridiculous accusations against his political opponents, standing there with the seal of the President of the United States,
yes,
and all the authority of the office, and he's in what military is in the background, I think he had in one case,
yes,
you know, making these outrageous statements about us. And that's what it is, making the outrageous statements about human beings who are only trying to avoid crime, not to have to pay outrageous gas prices, not to have to pay outrageous food prices, not to have to pay outrageous heating and oil prices, to be safe in their homes and in their streets.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, and not to explain their, you know, they want to say they want to run on abortion. Well, I want them to explain to the American people how perinatal abortions is a good idea, which, by the way, the American Center for Law and Justice, and this all ties into the politics because they're running on abortion. We are dealing with that issue literally, Cece, today.
Yeah, so we have sent another California Public Records request, this time to Governor Newsom, inquiring about that perinatal legislation that passed that does not allow any child that's born, any murder or any death of any baby that happens perinatal. So 28 days after they're born, if a baby dies, the coroner cannot investigate. Now, they tried to put in language that says if the death was due to causes in utero, but the coroner can't investigate. So there's no way to prove what that baby died for. So California has absolutely legalized killing a baby up to 28 days after it's born.
Let's talk about what we've done, though, because we were following the legislation. Obviously, we filed formal objections to that legislation, but what else have we done here?
Yeah, so the Public Records Act, we're asking Governor Newsom, basically, where did the idea for this perinatal language come from?
Yeah, I'd like to know that answer.
Yeah.
Because they want to run on abortion. You know, I'm going to tell you something. They are worshiping at the altar of abortion. Okay, that's what we've said that before. When you double down and start saying perinatal, is that we're going to rally the troops in front of the Capitol. I'm going to say democracy. Don't be shocked if tonight he says democracy is at stake because the pro-life view is starting to gain real stream and Roe versus Wade has been overturned. I will not be shocked, Jordan, if he says that.
No, I think all of those will be a part. It's to be the Supreme Court. He'll be an attack on the Supreme Court, which is an attack on Republican senators, and it'll be an attack on activists. Republican and conservative activist. What he's trying to do is demonize half the country, and about half the country. And he's playing for, and this obviously the Democrats, liberals will like it. You know, I mean, they thought the last one though didn't go over well. But the idea is that if this goes over well with your base, plus you can scare some people,
yeah,
then maybe these races that are within a point, I mean, they're all polling within like 1 or 2 points. There's a lot of pollsters have said, you know, Republican. Be very careful with that because you got to get the vote out.
100%. And most of these races are 1 or 2%.
almost all of them. And they usually tighten at the end.
Yeah. And you know, by the way, I want to say something to our friends at Rumble. Thank you. Because I'm looking right now on our multiple screens, yeah, and our viewership is twice, more than twice, what the viewership, or about twice, of what the viewership is on Facebook, where we've got 8 million people signed up collectively. With Rumble, we've got about 185,000 growing subscribers, but we have twice the amount of audience. So you can tell me these big tech companies don't throttle what they want. Yeah, they do. Well, but thank you to our friends at Rumble.
A good example, too, what Rumble did yesterday. They allow, you know, all these different media platforms to use, and you know, both sides, by the way, of the aisle, and but also internationally. They had the government of France tried to come to them and say, if you don't take down Russian media, which is a way also to see, by the way, the spin.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's, you don't have to agree with the Russian state media to say it's not a bad idea to monitor the Russian state media, though. We all talk about it all the time. So why should the only people that talk about it be the news networks? Shouldn't we have access to it to see what are they saying to their people about nuclear war and all those things? Yeah, so for good or for bad. And so France said, if you don't take it down, you know, you can't do business here. Rumble just said, we're out of France.
Well, there you go.
We're not going to be told by governments
what to do,
by nations, and we're not going to be dictated your content by what political actors want. So I think that, again, that's what freedom of speech is about, and they're spreading that around the world.
Let's take a call. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Jerry in Rhode Island. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, team. It's almost like you two saw the speech for tonight already released. You know that's what they're going to do.
Because it's so Jerry, it's so predictable, but go ahead. You're right. It's so predictable. You know, I can give them the speech. Go
right,
ahead.
You probably do checklist tonight. So, and Jordan's right. They are trying to get, if there's any independents who haven't decided, they're trying at the last minute. They saw the polls. They're in a panic. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to scare off, if they can scare off a, you know, half a percentage point. That's how tight these races are. So the difference between a status quo, House goes Republican, Senate stays Democrat, and House going huge Republican and Senate with actual like 52-48, like a real Republican majority that's not right on the line, is 1 or 2% of turnout. So at this point, you know, when we talk to Sigal Chadha in the next segment, it's solely about at this point in the campaign. Obviously, you use your messaging. You got to get people there. How do you get people to the polls? What Republicans are talking about is the economy, inflation, security, crime, the border, and of course the international issues as well that affect that. Drug crisis we're seeing in America. What are the Democrats talking about? They're talking about Republicans.
Right.
That's the difference here. Is we're talking about ideas and policy. They're talking about us. Not the policy.
So
they don't talk about crime. They don't talk about the border. They don't talk about immigration.
They
don't
talk about abortion.
They do want to. They will use abortion. That's their one policy issue because it's a distraction issue from the issues affecting your pocketbook.
But it needs to be motivating our people too, because I want to go back to this.
I think that's the danger of this speech. If I was his advisor, I'd say
backfire on this.
You're going to have more people saying, you know what, enough with this guy.
Well, I mean, like I said, they're promoting perenatal abortion. Now we have demanded a response. We'll go to court if we have to. I mean, that's part of what we're doing here. I mean,
right.
So what stage are we in this right now?
We've absolutely followed this law from its inception.
Yeah, what are we doing right now?
Now that it has been passed and signed, we have sent to Governor Newsom a California Public Records Act asking for specifically where did this perenatal language come from?
And that's what I want to know.
Who suggested that?
I want to know who suggested that. I'm going to find out it's Planned Parenthood or whoever it is and why. Now, you know who plays an important role in all of this? The state attorney general, which is often overlooked in these political races. But we are we had Abe Hamedy on.
He's going on tomorrow.
Yep, he's going to be back on. We've got Sigal Chadha coming up this afternoon, next segment from Nevada. Annie, you were a state attorney general.
Yes.
These are important roles. And people overlook this as another one. It's like the DAs. These are really important roles.
They are important roles. You got to realize that now that the battle has moved from the federal courts in the post-Dobbs era to the states, and the states are enacting laws with respect to abortion. It is the state attorneys general who are going to have to step in and enforce the laws that the states enact with respect to that. And you got to be careful. There's one state that is the attorney general candidate, a Democrat, has said she will not enforce any law that she doesn't agree with that is passed by the state legislature with respect to abortion. Is that the chief law enforcement officer that you want for your state? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Folks, hey, we are in day two of the matching challenges. You know, we're in November. It's hard to believe. November, December, two biggest months for the ACLJ. This is where it counts, folks. Your support of the ACLJ right now is match. It's not one of these matches you see in the politics where it's, you know, 25,000 to one. If you donate $20, we get 40. That's how it works. So we want to encourage you, if you're able, to support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's going to let you know how. Do it today. Really important, folks. November, December, we set the whole budget for next year.
Yeah, so we got our matching challenges up at ACLJ.org. It's very simple. You donate $50 at ACLJ.org. We have donors that are going to match that $50 donation. So you've triggered an additional $50 to the ACLJ. That's like donating $100, but all you have to donate is $50. That works for $20. That works for $10. You go to ACLJ.org and donate today. Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to be taking your calls, too, later in the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110 on the election. But we are joined right now by Sigal Chadha, who is a candidate for Attorney General in Nevada. This is, again, a very important race. We've talked about the importance of the races for Attorney General, that you don't just focus on governor, Senate, even Congress, but how important the role of these state attorney generals are. She is an attorney, obviously, and has done a lot of work to put forward, you know, constitutional rights, which of course is something that hits home for us here at the ACLJ. For instance, just one example before we go to Sigal is she represented the Calvary Chapel in a case of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, forcing them to be able to allow during those COVID lockdowns the same amount of people as other businesses were allowed to have.
Crazy.
Remember those rules where they said, oh, the casinos can be open, but the church can't be, or the church can have 20 people.
Yeah.
And she won that case.
Render under Caesar.
She's continued to fight the Democrat governor there, the Democrat AG, she's running against the Democrat incumbent, Aaron Ford. It's great to have Sigal with us today.
Hey, Sigal, thanks for being with us. I wanted to ask you this. You know, you were born in Israel in the 1970s. You've lived in the United States since you were a kid, 14 years old, and now you're running for what we think is one of the most important offices in the country, and that's the state attorney general. As you see it, in the formation of your career and the direction of career, what got you to this point? What was the motivating factor that said, when you said, I'm going to run for this important office? I think people need to hear that from you.
You know, Jay, thank you for having me on. As an immigrant, you know, my parents brought me to this country for the American dream. You know, which includes the protections of the Constitution. And I just see where the country is heading. And, you know, the immigrant story is almost a different type of love story with America, because we choose to live here. This is our country of choice. And that's why we fight vociferously for what everything this country stands for, whether it's free exercise, freedom of speech. You know, every amendment in the Constitution is so sacred. And that's how really I got here, because I see that if I don't fight for this, then where do we go?
You know, we know the importance, too, because I think you have an interesting story. Because of your story of your family immigrating here to the United States, legally going through the process, and then we know that voters in Nevada, they're very concerned about illegal immigration, the crime, the drugs that comes with that. But as an immigrant yourself, you can speak to that and say, you know, and I think we're starting to see that too from the Latino community in the United States, where they say, you know what, there's the right way to do this and the wrong way to do this, and the wrong way to do this is hurting everybody. But, you know, what has that been like when you're talking to voters in Nevada? Because the AG plays an important role, of course, in law enforcement, the most important.
Right, and it is. They do share that sentiment. We all understand what it means to immigrate to the United States legally. Versus illegally. And I want to tell you that those who come into this country legally and go through the channels, whether it's, you know, they get a green card first and then they apply for citizenship, you know, there's a certain level of consternation that we did it the right way and we're doing it the right way. And then those who enter illegally, it's almost like they're being gifted citizenship and residence. And there is, you know, a level of consternation with that.
You know, one of the things that we are trying to express for offices, to focus on offices that sometimes people not ignore, but don't understand the importance of it. And with me on our set is Andy Economos, former U.S. attorney, but also former assistant attorney general in Georgia. And, you know, we're talking about Segal took the fight on houses of worships being able to open on the same terms as other commercial establishments. And ultimately, the Supreme Court finally agreed that the policies put in place were restrictive of the First Amendment. But this shows the importance, Andy, of the state attorney general's role, even there on a religious liberty issue.
Well, the state attorney general is the pivotal person in terms of supporting and championing state law that the legislature enacts. And if the attorney general is not going to be out there fighting for the state and what the state the states do and state legislatures enact, then who is? And that's one of the things that I trust that this attorney general is, and Ms. Chadha, and I'm proud to say that you're an Israeli immigrant. My family's Greek immigrants. They've come to this country, and I hope that you will pledge that you will support the legislative enactments regardless of your personal feeling as to what the law is.
Absolutely. I see myself as a chief law enforcement officer, and it is my duty and obligation to ensure that all laws that are passed in the state of Nevada are enforced.
That's as compared with, by the way, some of your colleagues from other states saying that they're not going to enforce the laws passed by their legislatures that are also running for attorney general, not in Nevada, but in other states. But this one in Nevada is very, very important.
That's right. And Segal, just a final question for you. When you're talking to voters in Nevada, because our audience, obviously, we're in Nevada, but we're all over the country. And they want to know, too, like what's kind of like their motivating factor, what you're hearing about the most, that top issue to them?
The top issue to them is public safety, government transparency. This attorney general has been an absolute failure. He has allowed both the legislature and the governor to engage in a shroud of secrecy. You know, public records requests go unanswered. Open meeting laws are violated left and right. And the people are really frustrated with the way that the state has gone in those manners. I assure voters that there will always be transparency with the way this government works. And that's the most important thing to them.
That speaks directly to us. We talk about open records and the Open Meetings Acts, and we file a lot of those lawsuits.
Just filed one in California. So, I mean, we know. What's your best, for people to get information, what's the best website for your campaign?
They could go to chattafornevada.com, and that's chattah4, and Nevada spelled out, .com.
Well, I just looked at our radio stations that we're on in Nevada, and it's we are everywhere. And we encourage our listeners to go to the website to get the information from Segal. These attorney general races, folks, are really important. And Nevada's a pivotal state. And you've got someone with the caliber of expertise, Segal Chadha, running for office, putting herself in the position to serve her people and her constituents in the state. This is the time to support these candidates that are doing such a great job. Thanks for being with us, Segal. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
You know, and again, we always say this, we invite.
Yep.
And we have invited Aaron Ford, who's the current Democrat Attorney General, to be on the broadcast.
The invitation will stay open until the election day. Yep.
Yeah, they have that opportunity. We get it right to them. So, again, haven't had many take us up on that offer.
Occasionally.
But, again, we're honest, too, about what we're going to ask. So we're going to ask about those issues, crime, the transparency, issues that are important to the attorney general. Like Andy said, enforcing the law. It's wild to me as we're going to this second half hour of the broadcast. And give us a call, folks. We're going to start taking a lot more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That we even have to say that now.
I know.
Enforcing the law is now a play from an attorney, a potential attorney general of the state. I mean, that is their job, because we've seen those attorney generals say, I don't care what they said about Roe versus Wade. You know, I don't care, or this or that. We've seen it with the criminal law, especially too, the selective enforcement there. I mean, it's not even prosecutorial discretion, it's choosing what laws apply to who and what and why. Again, folks, all reasons to support the work of the ACLJ. I think this opportunity, and we'll have another AG candidate on tomorrow, because it shows you the importance of going down the ballot. Not too far down the ballot either, but just down the ballot, how important these races are. They've been important to the left for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
They've time been, for us is, to step
this
up.
This is people have been support, funding these races for a long time. Back more in just a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Secular. Take a focus to 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. We're going to get into the politics, the election, the issues that he's seeing on the ground. He's actually in Nevada as well right now. And
that's become a big state in this because of the Senate shift, too.
Yeah, and remember, these are going to be, for if you're on the, depending on where you listen to us, if you're on the eastern side of the country, likely you're not going to know the outcome of these when you go to bed.
Right.
You might start getting them start trickling. You'll get the votes start trickling in if you stay up, you know, till 11 midnight. But even like 2 in the morning, you might not know if they're as close as they're saying. And again, depending on what happens on the East and Midwest, will impact too what those races might mean. I mean, they could be what kind of balance of power. So every race right now could determine, you know, these balance of power, especially when we're talking about the U.S. Senate. I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We know Biden's going to try to demonize us all tonight, the Republicans and conservatives. Didn't go well for him in September, but I think it's just a sign of weakness. Instead of putting him out on the campaign trail, they're trying to deliver this national message in front of the Capitol. But let me remind you, it's endorsed. It is a DNC event, not technically a White House event. Let's go to Mary in Rhode Island on line one. Hey, Mary.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a problem with wondering who to vote for, this Democrat or Republican, because everything I'm getting in the mail is tells their name and all that, but it don't tell whether they're Democrat or Republican. And it's confusing.
Well, it's becoming a whole, Mary, I appreciate you calling, because you notice that with a lot of these campaigns now, they are, especially some of the ones that would be normally having Joe Biden out there for them, all of a sudden you're seeing they're not affiliating.
Yeah, and it would, I don't want to put you on the spot, but some of those races might not be partisan.
Right.
Which you have to do then a little extra research. You maybe go online, Google the name, see what they're about. But if it's a congressional race, state House, state Senate race, that kind of thing, gubernatorial or federal, there will be a party associated with it when you go vote. And you can usually you can look up the names. The great thing about the internet now is that these candidates can only hide to an extent.
Right.
And if you want assistance, you can always reach out to the Republican Party. So if you're thinking about voting Republican,
and you're trying
to identify who is that slate of candidates,
yeah,
you can call either party and they will walk you through it. They're happy to take those phone calls.
Yeah.
And you know, even in states like Rhode Island, where the Republican Party might not be as strong, there's still a number to call and a place to reach out. So whether you want to do your own research, which I think is great, you got time to do it, or again, go make that phone call to the party of your choice, and they can walk you through it too.
Right. All right, we're taking another call. 800-684-3110. Let's take Eric out of Virginia. Eric, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, appreciate you taking my call regarding Biden's speech tonight. Could it be a violation of the Hatch Act?
No.
Because, you know, you're telling me that he didn't use his office as president of the United States
they're
to be able to get the air
time? The way the Hatch Act works is the candidates for office or the president of the United States can campaign for candidates for office. It doesn't apply in that situation. It does not apply.
The president's fully exempt,
yeah.
Right? And so, that's more for like the
staff,
executive staff. And
In other words, since it's a DNC event, the staff of the White House, other than the security staff, can't be in the planning stages.
I think the second part was, do Republicans get a response? Usually,
no.
You do it to the State of the Union. I mean, technically, if the Republicans chose a person, they could try and negotiate that out with networks.
Who knows if it'll happen.
But I don't. And who is that person right now? You know, it's probably not. It's not going to be Donald Trump. They're not going to put him on.
No.
And so, I think again, honestly, just let Joe Biden give the speech.
Yeah, well, he's gonna.
If you're gonna put wagers on like how this will turn out, just the speech itself might not even be intelligent. People might not be able to understand. We were sending tweets to each other last night from a speech he gave last night. You have to have like an interpreter.
Yes.
Figure out what did that sentence even mean. something that aren't even political. He's talking about his son who passed away. And he said he died in Iraq. You're like, well, I mean, he might be from the burn pits that he was referencing, but he didn't pass away there. So it's, again, you have to like interpret every line that he announced. So this address, go right ahead, Joe Biden. We'll be right back with Rick Renew. Second, we are joined by Rick Rendell. Rick is on the trail. Again, he's been on the trail for months and now in Nevada, and we always appreciate him joining us. Our senior advisor, foreign policy and national security, but campaign expert as well. I mean, Rick, just right off the top, we now know that President Biden's going to give the second round speech to demonize conservative MAGA supporting Americans tonight in a 7 p.m. Eastern time address to the nation in front of the Capitol. Just your reaction. My kind of initial reaction is let Joe Biden talk. The more he talks, it usually turns people off. But he is trying to demonize, scare enough voters into thinking, oh, we can't elect these Republicans like Adam Laxalt in Nevada. We just had Seagal Chatta on our broadcast because they're crazy and they can't be trusted.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm on the bus with Adam Laxalt going through small towns in Nevada. We're on our way to Ely, Nevada. If anybody is in and around there, they can join us today. But the reality is what I hear on the ground, what I hear from people is that the inflation, skyrocketing inflation, the woke culture, the fact that we have a Supreme Court justice who doesn't know what a man or a woman is, and she can't tell the difference, and she says she can't tell the difference because she's not a biologist. This is the type of ridiculousness that has infected the United States. So the more Joe Biden comes out and talks, the more he turns off people. This is why people like Catherine Cortez Masto is not campaigning with Joe Biden. She doesn't want him anywhere near Nevada. I'll tell you who did come to Nevada last night was Barack Obama, and it was a pathetic showing. There weren't that many people. I mean, let's be honest about what's happening. Barack Obama cannot get a crowd. Donald Trump has a crowd 50 times as large. So you tell me where the energy in this country is to stop what's going on.
You know, Rick, we know they're running on this abortion issue, right? Because the Supreme Court did the right thing in Dobson saying there's no federal constitutional right to abortion, which made sense. So the court issues this, and then they're going to run on abortion. And then, of course, we had these attacks on pregnancy resource centers, and we're involved with the intelligence communities on that. And the Department of Homeland Security was, setting out guidelines, and they allowed comments, and we responded. And here is the response. And I know when you were the director of national intelligence, all these agency heads reported to you. I mean, you've been in this role as a cabinet member in the cabinet of a president of the United States. But we just got this letter, and I'm going to read it because it is so ridiculous. And it shows you the political correctness of what's going on in the country. Dear, this is to you, Jordan. Dear Mr. Sekulow, thank you for your September 8th, 2022 letter regarding Executive Order 14076, protecting access to reproductive health care services, and your concerns regarding potential impact from the order on pregnancy resource centers. Secretary Mayorkas asked that I respond on his behalf. Now you expect you'd get a response. Here's the response. We appreciate your detailed expression of concern regarding how the executive order may be implemented, but the department is committed to carrying out the directions of the president, including assignments made to it in its executive orders, in a matter consistent with the Constitution and all applicable laws. Thank you again for your letter and interest in this important issue. In other words, Rick, they basically told us, we don't care what happens to these crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers, if they get bombed, which they have been, if they get terrorized, that's fine too. So they want to run on this. But then when it comes down to actually administering the law, equal justice under the law, and this is why people need to vote. This is the kind of response you get.
Yeah, look, we sat by, Republicans sat by, and we let them do sanctuary cities, which was literally an attack on our immigration laws. Now we see through letters like this that the federal government doesn't care if pregnancy centers are bombed and vandalized. They don't care. They're not going to enforce the law because they are for abortion and they are for open borders. And so they are picking and choosing which laws to enforce according to their political beliefs. It is an attack on our democracy. They talk about attacks on our democracy constantly, but this is the perfect example. I want to emphasize one thing that you just said, Jay. Get out and vote.
Yes.
I want to be harsh to the pro-life community. We just got a big win because Donald Trump appointed all of the pro-life judges that we needed. This is a God-given gift. You must now get out and show them that they can't walk this back. You have to drag people to the polls. Now is the time after we win to protect the wins. Otherwise, it will roll back and we have to start all over.
You know, can I add something to this? Because Rick's right. And this is where I want to speak to these people. And we get them every day on the broadcast. And Rick, I'm sure you're getting it out in the field. Oh, my vote doesn't count. Listen, the laws have been toughened up. And, you know, overwhelming response could be overwhelming victory. But you've got to vote, folks. And this idea that you're not going to vote because you didn't think your vote counted last time is ridiculous reason to not vote. Because I just read you the response from the current head of DHS, which is basically, like Rick said, crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resources centers are being bombed. Oh, we don't care about that. That's okay. You know, that's not the priority of the president. Instead, the priority of the president tonight is going to be another attempt to demonize conservatives and say the democracy is at stake if you vote pro-life. I mean, that's what Rick, they need to understand. That's what he's saying. If you vote pro-life, you are putting the democracy at risk. Rick, that is exactly, he has said it, by the way, words to that effect.
Yeah, and they're shaming us, they're mocking us, and more importantly, they're not enforcing the law because of their politics. And so I want to emphasize that we have tried to fix the system. Do we need to do it more? Absolutely, yes, but we have made some changes. We just got a huge win in Pennsylvania when it comes to having ballots that are not properly signed, not counted. We are doing the little fixes, but I'll tell you the big way to do the fixes is to elect these attorney generals like Sigal, who you just had on in Nevada, Abe Hamadeh in Arizona. You've got to have the attorneys general who are going to fight these ridiculous laws, and that's how we're going to win. So put these people in office.
You know, I want to say one thing about the Pennsylvania case. That was a good win out of the Supreme Court. Let me tell you this, though. I only handled one case. We only handled one case for President Trump at the Supreme Court on the election issue. And we handled other cases during the course of his term, many, but one at the Supreme Court. And it involved late ballots, ballots that came in after the statutory deadline. And we won that. And people forget that. We won that. The court said, no, you got to segregate those. Can't count those with the general elections because the legislature doesn't have the authority. The legislature has the authority to do it, not a court. These kind of decisions matter. But right now, vote is critical. I mean, Rick, I think there's going to be this red wave. Jordan thinks so, too. But Jordan, you make that point that the wave is going to be the final number of Republicans versus Democrats. Yeah. But the races themselves are going to be razor thin.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're with Adam Laxalt right now. The polling, I mean, it's a turnout. I mean, Rick, that's ultimately, listen, we want all these candidates to win by 10 points. That would be wonderful and be great. But the idea here is we know we're in a country that's divided. We know there's a lot of bad info coming out about candidates that we support out there. But this is now the opportunity, like you said, for conservatives to find their friends, to find family, and get out and vote. This is the key, because we will not win any of these races if people don't show up and vote.
Well, I'm just having a flash forward to 1 week from today where we're on the radio talking about what happened last night in all the different races. And I pray that we're not regretting that we didn't have more people vote. If we don't win the Senate and stop this Biden agenda, then we've got two more years of craziness. We have an opportunity next Tuesday to stop this. And I would say to people, don't just vote and then watch the television to see what happens. You have to go drag every family member out. I will tell you, there's a whole bunch of people that say they will vote, that want to vote, that will vote red if they vote. But something comes up. They miss an appointment or they're running late, right, and then they don't vote.
And we know people that went to, look, we know people that went to the rallies for the former president and the mass rallies with 30 and 40,000 people and never voted in an election.
Yeah,
they wanted the entertainment value, but they didn't want to go out and vote.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you on election day, you need to prepare. I mean, Rick, in places like Nevada, there are going to be lines. We need to be dedicated to staying in line. I mean, you know, stay in line, bring your friends, have more fun in line. You know, right. Again, plan. I know it's like the basic messages, but you know, Rick, we've all worked on campaigns our whole life. That is the basic message at this point: is plan it out. Get, you know, if you need help with your kids or if you're going to bring your kids, know it could be, you know, some time in line, and it's worth it for our country, for your state, for our Democratic Republic.
Well, let me just say, because I'm on Adam's bus, go to adamlaxalt.com. Help us out this last week. Find out where we are. Come see us. We're on a bus tour. I'm with Matt Whitaker. Matt Schlapp was here. Adam Laxalt, me. We've got a whole bunch of more people joining.
And that's happened all across these big battlegrounds. The bus tours, like with Rick and with folks. And so you can get people out.
Yes.
Get them excited. It's not like having to go to a giant rally. They're quick stops. They're really cool. You get to meet the candidate. You get to meet folks like Rick, see him up close in person, talk to him. And if you bring a few friends, you know, that can be that encouragement to get them to say, you know what, I met him. I really like him. I'm gonna go vote for them. You know, and I'm going to show up, even if it takes me a couple hours that day.
There's no question about it. We encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Day two of our matching challenge campaign, folks, this is when it counts. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Thanks very much. We really appreciate your support if you're able. ACLJ.org. One more segment coming up.
Welcome back to Seculo. So usually you're used to seeing Jeff Balaban at our offices in Jerusalem, but he's here with us today in the studio. And last night, the Israeli election results started coming in, so we started to see the numbers, and it looks like Prime Minister Netanyahu is returning to power, but you have to put together a coalition. These are based on exit polls, which, again, it's not as tough to do there because it's not like you're dealing with a country the size of the United States.
Rhode Island,
and people vote by party.
Right.
So you don't like, it's not like you pick 20 different candidates and different parties and independents and this and that. You put in your number, you put in your party vote, so you can see kind of like where these parties, no one gets to like 51%. So you got to put together a coalition with other political parties.
Like the British system.
But it's a big comeback.
It's a huge comeback. I mean, you know, I got the privilege of working in the White House very closely with Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the prime minister of Israel at the time of the Golan Declaration, at the time of the embassy move to Jerusalem. Jeff, you were there too for that. I've got a signed copy of the Golan Declaration handed to me by the president and Benjamin Netanyahu. So look, I mean, this is a huge comeback. It's not done yet, but I wondered how much of this was with Russia rattling its sabers, Jeff. Just kind of the insecurity of the Russia situation. Israel's been very careful on that. How much did that play into this of saying we need a strong leader here?
That's a great question. I think it's a combination, Jay, of fear that the Biden administration is not really supporting Israel the way it needs to support Israel.
Right.
Fear that the Biden administration is cozying up to Israel's enemies. And, you know, there was just this big deal that they proclaimed as though it were successful with, you know, with Hezbollah and maritime. It was terrible for Israel. Terrible, absolutely. And internally, they see the whole planet where it's moving. But internally, it's time to reassert a Jewish nationality, a Jewish strength. And it's really been a big pushback.
So how does this play out now? Because people need to understand the politics. We have an office in Jerusalem. I had it for a long time. Jeff's setting it up now. And like normally you see Jeff from Jerusalem. But we have a big meeting going on here at the ACLJ, so we got lawyers coming in literally from all over the country, all over the world. But, Jeff, this is based on exit polling, but you have to BB got, I think they say, about 61, 62 seats. It looks like it's going to shake up.
A coalition? I mean, his party got 31, they say.
Yeah, but he'll put a coalition.
They're saying maybe 65 even.
Okay, so
which is extraordinary.
Let's talk to people about what a coalition government actually looks like.
Right. Well, first of all, it's 65, we should say, out of 120 total. So you need to get a majority. And what happens after the
election? So you got to get 61.
Exactly. Right. And after the election, the president of Israel, which is not like a president here, the president then oversees the coalitions trying to be formed. Right now, Bibi has such a commanding
And the president of the United of Israel right now is somebody else we had worked with in years past. Buji Herzog, and he will oversee this in a it's more than a ministerial capacity, but it's more of a making sure everything runs on time. I mean, you want to get the government formed. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But Bibi, as the obvious leader who's most likely to form a coalition of at least 61, will get a chance to go first. And right now, the question is, what coalition will he form? It seems that he'll form a coalition, people suspect, that is a very strong pro-Jewish national coalition after a long time where it really wasn't like that. And so you see big numbers in the Shas party, which is a religious party, big numbers in the parties representing the Jews who support Jewish life in Judea and Samaria. And so there's a lot of strength in these parties, and Bibi could reach out and try and do a unity government with the other side, but it doesn't look that's what the people want. It seems to be a very strong push back against the left.
And that means also the appointment of cabinet positions are part of this trade that goes on. So you could have some of these other coalition partners getting various portfolios.
More similar politics than what we just saw. We saw it in Israel. We had in Israel this past couple of years, you had this divided government that, you know, it was basically like if you had Republicans and Democrats together, literally the two opposites of the spectrum, but the two biggest parties coming together saying, we'll try to do this where you're prime minister for a certain amount of time, then I'm prime minister for a certain amount of time, we'll split up. I don't know if that worked. And like you said, Jeff, it might work at a time when you don't feel like you're under attack.
Right.
But at a time, too, we're seeing like anti-Semitism on the rise, just in general, a lot more in our own country, too, here in the United States, that if you can get a group together who is on your side, it's a lot easier to govern.
That's right. And, you know, what people are going to hear now, Jordan, in America is this message that, oh, this is a horrible right-wing fascist government. No, it's not. That's what they say about America when America wants to be, you know, believe in American exceptionalism. It's right. The same thing. This is a government that wants to see success and peace and strength. They want to see an Arab nationality within them that is successful and peaceful, that like the Abraham Accords, peace in that region comes through strength, knowing who you are and not constantly just feeding the jihadists.
You know, Benjamin Disraeli, I've quoted him a million times on this broadcast. He got it exactly right in the 1870s. He said, you know why you get these countries to negotiate? And that includes your surrounding neighbors? Strength. They understand one thing, power. And you know what happened? Israel had power. Now you had the Abraham Accords. The Saudis may be signing it, they say. That could happen. This is an unbelievable alliance. No longer is the Palestinian Authority corrupt as they are. And we know how corrupt they are because we did litigation to find out what they were getting. And find out that Mahmoud Abbas's son is getting millions of dollars from guess who? The United States. That was one of our cases where we got that information. So, you know, we don't just talk about the issues here. We've got an office in Jerusalem. We have litigated at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on behalf of Israel's interest. We have worked with the Ministry of Justice. We have worked with the Prime Minister's office. Jeff is working regularly with the Judea and Samaria Council, which is the other areas of Israel, the sovereign Israeli country, Israel territory. But look, there's enemies out there. And unfortunately, the Biden administration is being perceived because of policies, because policies matters, as a hostile government.
That's exactly right. I mean, Israel diplomatically has to say, America's our friend, we love this administration, but it's Biden administration has been crushing Israel's interests every step of the way, crushing Israel in terms of sovereignty. We've talked about this. They went up to parts of Jerusalem and didn't allow the Israelis to come with them, put on a Palestinian flag. It was outrageous. And the Israelis feel it and they see it and they know they have to stand up for themselves.
Jeff, because this is a big fundraising month for the ACLJ. November is the beginning of our matching challenge for the end of the year. You're in that office regularly. I mean, you're based out of that office in Jerusalem. We're here, again, for these meetings we have going on here in the United States. But what is that office? What are you primarily focusing on? And I think people need to understand how significant it is. And by the way, that includes all this international tribunals we have to deal with.
Right. First of all, I think it's incredibly important. I'm very honored and proud to be in Jerusalem representing ACLJ. I am constantly being asked by media, but even more importantly, by the politicians, by the people running the country to understand what America is doing, why America is doing it. So to be able to communicate directly, to understand what their concerns are, to understand sometimes the government can't do things directly. They need help. As you said, Jay, we've represented the interests in the International Criminal Court. So to be able to be there in person and knowing what's going on behind the scenes is crucial. And I'm very, very proud to do it. And can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I looked quickly. People need to understand, people who support the ACLJ, in America, Jews only make up less than 2% in 40 states, and we're less than 1% in 30 states. We are not a big people. We rely on America to support Israel. And so we're there sending that message that America supports Israel, not just Jewish Americans, but America who love America, Americans who believe in American exceptionalism, also want to see Jewish power, also want to see a strong Jewish state.
Yeah, and I think, again, that message, it's loud and clear. I mean, you could, there's some parallels between Netanyahu and Trump. You get into a whole discussion on that. We don't have the time today. I appreciate Jeff being in the studio with us, too. I think it's cool. It just gives you an opportunity to see people you see sometimes via Skype joining us different hours of the night in Israel here on with us all as we're hosting a meeting here in our office. But of our attorneys. But I just want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ.
Really
the,
important.
We're able to do all of this. Whether it's Rick Rennell, just on Jeff, who's here, bringing you the candidates leading up to Election Day. Mike Pompeo, all of this team that we have assembled is because of your financial support. So if you can donate to the ACLJ, it's a great time to do it. You double your impact. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.